my goal is to win a national championship. So like when I do that in March, I want to be able to look back at like my 5 years of playing hoops and like to my practicing in COVID with no games to playing at Babson and March Madness. Like I want to look and be like, I didn't cheat any steps. Like I was taking care of business when stuff wasn't going my way. I was taking care of business when stuff was going my way.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm not even D2. Like always, I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my boy and co-host, Naruto Perdomo. We got a great episode for you guys this week. But talk to me, bro. What's good? Talk to me in Utica basketball, Ruta's life right now. Just give me the drop.
Hey, not much new, man. Just, you know, second week of class. So just, you know, starting to find a groove with, you know, waking up and then doing homework and finding a schedule that works for me. I like a lot of my classes. They're pretty much interesting. They're a little bit harder. A little bit more challenging this semester. I mean, that's given because I'm a senior, but regardless, they are pretty interesting. So I'm kind of excited for the rest of the semester. Basketball, good. You know, we won this weekend, so that's what we want. Got two upcoming. And yeah, bro, that's pretty much it. My dad's coming this weekend. I'm excited to see him. But outside of that, man, I'm chilling, man. What about you?
Good dubs for the Pioneers this past weekend. Got it. Big ones for you guys, but on the flip side, Alfred dropped two. We played, like I said in the last episode, probably the hardest weekend with you and Polly, overtime game, down 17, overtime game. Just they made a few more plays. They got three really good guards that just controlled the game towards the end, and we want that one back, but we'll see them in the playoffs or something. And then you guys gave us work. I think you guys won by 12, but it was a good game. I didn't have my best weekend, but I'm locked in for Geneseo and Brockport, another hard weekend in the E8. It's just a really tough conference, and that's – we don't got to keep saying it, but that's around Division III, and, like, we're going to talk about a tough conference later on in the episode. But this week's episode, we got Felix Kloman, Lick Stay Lit. Definitely – a good episode, great conversation we had with bro. I mean, there was a lot to talk about with his career. He started at Brown University, Ivy League player, started there in his senior year for some games, and now he's playing at Babson and having a really good career or season, I should say. And you actually know him, so I just want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great episode. Felix is definitely my guy. You know, I know him because of Mitch, you know what I mean? So I've known him for the last, like, I think it's 2025 now. So probably like 2 to 3 years. And we've just gotten like closer, I'd say, as the years grow on. Like, that's not like my best friend, but, you know, that's my boy, you know what I mean? Like, he always be showing love and stuff like that. And, you know, we always be talking in between workouts and stuff like that and competing. But talking a little bit more about his career and just overall Felix as a player, I mean, he talked a lot about just staying grounded and, like, you know, working through adversity, you know what I'm saying, staying ready for his opportunities, right? So he didn't really start playing and getting minutes for Brown until his senior year. And even then, so, like, his senior year where he eventually started some games, it was still kind of, like, up and down for him, you know what I mean? So now he's in a situation at Babson where, like I said, obviously he's hurt, but regardless, like, he was given the keys to that, you know, program, honestly, where, you know, he's averaging 18.8 points per game, shooting 46% from the field, shooting 38% from three, right? Like, he's averaging, like, almost, like, four rebounds, which is solid. My boy had seven assists, too, the other day, so he definitely passes. But, no, he's having a great season, bro. He's having a great season. I'm definitely really proud of him and happy for him because, like I said in the episode, man, like, I've seen – you know, I've seen him go against Joey Baker, Duncan Robinson, and even in our own workouts, you know, with Mitch, with, like, all the guys that all, like, the D3 and some D1 guys, like, and he'll kill, bro. He'll hit tough shots. You know what I mean? I always thought he was a buck, but he just wasn't playing at Brown. So now he's given the opportunity to do it at Babson, and he's been killing, bro. And I also love to hear his perspective on Division III basketball and him talking about how it's just pure basketball, which is a topic that we've talked about, you know, on here, like, you know, talking about, like, NIL and stuff like that and how that's kind of changed college basketball dynamics. But now in D3, it's not really it's not, NIL is not really in D3. So like, I think you were the first, you said it right after I had told you in that, you know, intro episode that it's pure. So now Felix is saying it without us even like kind of mentioning it. So it's kind of cool. We got all this, got the same mindset.
Not yet. I think that was my favorite part of the episode. Actually, there was a few moments where I was like, this is a fire episode, because the last answer he gave about like have the same process no matter where you are. It's actually funny. I just got out of class and first day type of stuff where teacher's asking like, what's the best piece of advice? Like, get to know you. I wrote down like basically what he said, and that it really like, it stuck with me. I don't know if it's recency bias, but it did stick with me for at least this moment.
Well, what,
but,
say it again. What was it that stuck with you?
Like the you want to have the same process even when you're not where you want to be as when you are where you want to be, so that you know you didn't skip any steps and it's fluidity. But talking about Felix more, I mean, his game is tough. He could shoot it like. You could just tell just how the ball comes off his hands, his great rotation and all that. Yeah, he got the gun for real. And, I mean, that's kind of how he got on the floor at Brown. But now he's at Babson and showing, like, nah, I got Pat. I could get to my spot. Yeah, he could do it all, bro. So it's cool. And I'm not a big fan of, like, all of college sports, the directions it's going in with, whether it be NIL, the portal, or – you know, the JUCO ruling. I can't say I'm the biggest fan of all of that, but I mean, this is a prime example of why the portal is a great thing, because like Felix said, like I didn't feel fulfilled with how my career went at Brown, and a kid should be able to, you know, take his talents. He's in the gym all the time with Mitch, and he should be able to go test the waters and see what it's like to have the ball in his hands, have that spotlight. And he's got the opportunity. Like you said, he's having a really good year. And one last thing about Felix that I really like about, like, his mindset is, he said it in the episode, like, his high school career wasn't, like, he had a good career, but he didn't feel like he did enough. Or at Brown, he didn't feel fulfilled with it. But he never blamed, like, oh, my coach did this, or recruiters didn't think I could do this. It was always like, nah, Felix didn't do this well enough, and that's why Felix didn't feel fulfilled, or whatever the case may be. And I love a player that can look inward to himself and just be like, nah, it was me. It wasn't anybody else's fault. But, I mean, he's mature now. He's a fifth year, and Babson is a really good team, bro. Like, our guy A-Stein had like 25 on 7 threes the other day. So, I mean, the new Mac is tough, but Babson is right up there and shown that they can win big games. And we don't have to talk about the new Mac we did in the episode with the D3 Datacast guys, but I want your prediction on who you got in the new Mac, who's going to win that conference.
Man, it's a great conference, bro. It's a really great conference. I got Clark, though. I got Clark. I said it from day one. You know, I said it from back then. You know, WPI is really good. Obviously, they got a lot of great players on that team. But, bro, I just feel like Clark, they got my boy Isaiah back, Isaiah Taylor. They got him back, and he's a dog on defense. He guards full, and then he still could score the ball and pass it a little bit, too. He runs the show for them. So now he's fully healthy. He dealt with, like, a little hand injury. So now they got him back. They got that transfer from Northeastern still, who's been shooting the ball well, and they got Kekoa McArdle, right? They got a pretty good team, Chris Clark. They got all those guys, so I think they can still get it done. You know, dark horse, my boy. I gotta give a shout out, my boy on Springfield, J'Ro Flynn. Hopefully, you know, they can make a run or something like that. But definitely, I'm gonna go with Clark though.
That's a good pick. And like I said in the beginning, like, a lot of conferences right now, it's hard to kind of decide who's the favorite, because even in our conference, like, Naz was the favorite, and then they lose to Sage this past weekend. So now here, like, there's 3-5-1 teams, there's 3-4-2 teams, there's 3-3-3 teams. So,
and Sage just lost to Geneseo too.
Yeah, so it's just anybody can win on any day, and that's the new Mac too. But I'm gonna go my pick. This is a safe pick, but WPI, I mean, they've had a really good year. They're 14-2. They do have a loss in the new Mac already to Babson, but I think that, you know, their schedule, it's been tough. Like, they've beaten Amherst, NESCAC team. They played Geneseo, and they beat them by 31. Like, a it's proven why they're a top 25 team. So that's my pick in the new MAC. But no shots at you, Felix. Like, I hope you guys, you set your goals to win a natty chip. So I hope that you guys can do that. But my pick is WPI. But I'm definitely going to be following the new MAC. Like you said, it's a really good conference. But, I mean, we talked about a lot with Felix regarding his career, his recruitment process to Brown, what it was like getting in the portal, coming to Babson, and, you know, Babson season, what he's looking to do for this season and onward. But it was a really good episode. Definitely stay tuned, and let's hear from Felix. Here with that boy, Felix Coleman. How you doing today, bro?
I'm good. Appreciate y'all for having me on again. Thank you.
Appreciate you getting on, my boy. What you been up to today? Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing.
Like I was telling y'all before, like, I hurt my hand, so I was at practice. I can't even run yet because, like, the impact. So after practice, my team had lifts. I just got on the treadmill. I did, you know, a little hot girl walk on the treadmill, got my steps in. You know, trying to keep my conditioning okay for when I come back. But outside of that, yeah, we start up school tomorrow, so doing some school work, getting ready.
Yeah,
nothing crazy.
I was sidelined before, and I know Rudy dealt with an injury, but, like, what's your mindset right now during the injury? Like, obviously you're trying to be there for your teammates, but being sidelined and you're one of the better players, seeing your team battle without you on the floor, like, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, kind of like I was saying, just, like, you know, I feel like just trying to find the silver lining and everything. Like, I've been reading this book recently. Joey Baker put me on Rudy. It's called The Surrender Experiment. It's kind of about surrendering to, like, the flow of life, not being so resistant to, you know, just what happens in your day-to-day life. And obviously I got injured, that happened. So just kind of surrendering to it, and now just trying to maximize, you know, I'm being injured. So staying in shape, putting my effort into other things, you know, trying to add value in other ways. So just like I said, trying to spin it as much as I can to a positive thing, so when I come back, I can be, you know, pick right up where I left off.
Is this the first time you kind of dealt with an injury, Felix? Or
yeah, bro. I've never been seriously injured before, to be honest. Like, obviously, like tweaks and, like, sprains and stuff like that, but, like, stuff you could play through. So this is really the first time I, like, broke something or fractured something. So it's definitely a new thing for sure. But I feel like if this happened when I was younger, like in my collegiate career or whatever, I definitely would have been, like, spiraling a little bit. But I'm lucky to have, like, a little bit more of, like, the experience, I guess, to, you know, handle it a little bit better
mentally. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Mature now. But before we get into, like, more serious talk about basketball, I'm curious about where you got your IG name from. Lick Stay Lit. Like, I was intrigued. So talk to me about that.
I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure I was just in high school, bro, and I was like, I just got to spice it up somehow. So I think I just went with that, to be honest. I wish I had a better story for you, but I don't.
I respect that
was it.
everyone like at Elevate, like with Mitch and stuff, we all call him, like, Flex and stuff. Like, that's what everybody call him.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, someone called me a Brown, and we got a kid on our name named Flax, so everyone calls me Licks here. It's been like
identity crisis.
Yeah, exactly, you said it exactly. So it's been different for sure.
Wait, bro, are you rocking Brown right now?
I am, bro. Until Babson, you know, starts upping some more gear, I gotta wear the Brown gear every now and then. You know, it's not every day, but you know.
I respect that. I mean, Brown's a Nike school, so I'll be rocking that too, bro.
You know what I'm saying? The New Balance techs don't hit the same as, you know, the ones do. So it is what it is.
Bro, before we get into the questions, I have one more question that I want to, like, bring up too about music. Me and you at Mitch's workouts, we always talk about music, and you, like, have a really diverse taste in music, and so does KJ too. Like, KJ, like, you like KJ, you like R&B and stuff like that. And he looks all the time, like, puts, like, Cassie on his story and stuff like that. So explain to the audience your music taste and how you got into, you know, and what you like.
I don't know, bro. I feel like I like everything, like you said. Like, it's just a mix of everything. I've been on, like, that 90s, 2000s, like, R&B kick right now. So, like you said, Cassie,
Aaliyah. Twin, bro.
Yeah, been on that Keith Sweat heavy. He's been in rotation. So yeah, I don't know. It's more times I just go through phases, and that's, you know, that's my little phase right now.
Word, I respect that.
Yeah, once summer comes around, it'll be Larry June again for sure.
I was gonna say, yeah, that was this past summer, the Larry June hype. Definitely had a lot of combos about that. Yeah.
I'm driving in my, you know, 2017 Tiguan, feeling like I'm in a Rolls when I'm listening to him.
I'm feeling good today, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But to get into the questions, bro, so you went to Pingree for 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, and then you committed to Brown. And you told me, like, in just conversations that, you know, Hamilton was looking at you, and you had other, like, high-level D3s also reaching out to you. So ultimately, what went into the decision to go to Brown, and just talk about overall your recruitment in high school?
Yeah, my recruitment in high school was kind of like was kind of all over the place, bro. And I kind of did it to myself. I was like I've always been like a crazy overthinker, and like, you know, like that junior live period in the spring and summer is kind of like when you're supposed to get to it and like really like rack up the offers. And I felt like I played really well like my sophomore AU season, and then just like going into the junior year, like that spring and summer, I feel like I started just like overthinking everything crazy, and I played terribly in like those two AU live sessions. So I didn't really pick up what I wanted to pick up. Like, I really felt confident in myself being like Division I guy. Like you said, I had a lot of those like higher D3 offers to go. And then I kind of got to a point halfway through my senior year where I was like, okay, I could either do like Hamilton or I could do a post-grad year. And I was honestly like leaning to doing the post-grad thing. I decided to do the post-grad thing in January, like I want to say early January, late December of that year. And I went out to like Cushing, Worcester, VA, and then my high school coach knew Coach Martin, the Brown head coach, and he eventually ended up coming to some of my high school games, and he'd seen me like earlier at AU stuff, so they actually ended up offering me, like, it was pretty late. I want to say it was like late January, early February. So I was planning on doing the fifth year thing, the grad year in high school, and then that came through, and it was just kind of perfect. So I mean, yeah, I jumped on that for sure. But yeah, it was super late, and it wasn't very fulfilling, honestly. Like I said, I didn't really have like the greatest performance in those live periods, but it all worked out in the end. So,
no, 100%. So Brown was your only D1 offer out of high school?
Yeah, I mean, I got the Bryant offer, but you know, like everybody get the Bryant offer. It seemed like.
Yo, I'll be on social media like, yo, they just giving anybody all.
Yeah, so, and that's no like disrespect or anything. Like, Bryant's nice. Like, they can go over there, but yeah, so I had that one, and then yeah, Brown came in late, so that's what I was really, let me get my dude on the straight on somewhere, but
motion,
yeah, that came in late. So like I said, I was gonna do the fifth year thing or then like I said, Brown came through, so that just worked out.
Word. So you get to Brown, and your first season, I believe it's 2020-21 season, and it's canceled because of COVID. And then also, like, the next few years in your college career, not that you weren't playing at all, but, like, you weren't probably playing the minutes that you wanted to be playing, like, single digits at that. So just talk to me about, like, what kept you locked into the grind. Like, you're at Brown, you're not really playing, your first season was canceled. So just, like, what was driving you at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, like, loving basketball, honestly. Like, that's never, like, wavered or changed, to be honest. And, like you said, that first year, Ivy League didn't even have games. So, like, we were just in the gym practicing a ton. And then sophomore year, like you said, like, sophomore year, I didn't play at all until, like, the end of the year. I started to play a little bit, but it was kind of meaningless games. We were already out of it. And then it was honestly just, like, the slow buildup, too. Like, it was definitely a roller coaster in terms of, like, my production and stuff and, like, how much I played on the floor. But, like, from COVID to, like, no games to sophomore year, obviously I wasn't playing with games. The junior year, I started to be like in the rotation, in and out of the rotation, like playing some games, not others. And then my senior year starting for a bit. So it felt like I was building up. Obviously it didn't end the way personally I wanted it to, or I don't feel like I, you know, maximized my potential or did what I wanted to do necessarily at Brown in terms of basketball. But I still feel like the important part for me was like all the growth I was able to get out of that on the court. And then more so just like mentally, like, you know, basketball can be like, college basketball can be hard, just like the mental gymnastics you go through. So I just like, honestly, all the lessons I feel like through all that were just like super invaluable to me.
Nah, bro, I love your mindset, no glaze, but like you could just see that maturity and all the answers you're talking about. And along those lines of, like, you mentioned how being a college basketball athlete, like, is hard. And that like, student athlete, being a student athlete is hard, gets thrown out a lot. But it's not really, like, detailed what goes into being a student athlete. So, like, you might wake up, have film, and then you got to get a workout in, and then you got classes throughout the day, practice at night, maybe a film session that night. And then, like, you still got to be at your top performance in the classroom. So, and you're at Brown, Ivy League school. So just give me a little insight on, like, what that was like the daily schedule, but also how you were able to manage, like, the social life, basketball, school, all that. So just talk to me about that process.
Yeah, I think it helped that freshman year to not have games, although our schedule was still, like, we were practicing like we had games, but we had no games. Honestly, we were going, like, way harder because, like, it wasn't like we had, like, a scouting day. It was like we were just going at it every day. So, I mean, the schedule was definitely rigorous. I feel like it's just time management, man. Like, it took me a while to figure it out too, but, like, time management, and then, like, you know, people always say there's, like, the social bucket, the academic bucket, and the basketball bucket. And more times, like, if you want to get serious about the court and doing what you need to do in the classroom, it's probably the social bucket that has to give a little bit. So, you know, just striking that balance. Yeah, I feel like, you know, like I said, like, the Ivy League stuff, like, college is college at the end of the day. Like, it's just a time management thing. So I feel like that was the biggest thing for me, just figuring that out, and, like, figuring out what worked for me to, like, maximize my performance on the court in terms of, like, sleep, like, when I can, you know, go out, when not to go out, et cetera. So stuff like that.
Little bit of, like, a informal question, I'd say. I'm about to ask you, Felix, but so Brown is, like, in Providence, and there's Providence College. Mm-hmm. You got URI. I guess I don't know if that's too far from Prov, but regardless, like, you're in.
Well, I was, like, 50.
All right, so you got a bunch of schools out in Rhode Island, and I know Prov is, like, a fun city to be in. So just talk about, like, just being a college student in Brown, like, the different social scenes that you were in with between the student athletes. Like, I'm kind of interested in that.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, man, I love Brown. Like, I really love the community of Brown. It's, like, it's called, like, the Happy Ivy, and, like, I really do think it, like, lives up to that, like, kind of nickname or whatever, because, like, I feel like the athletic community is super close. Like, my junior and senior year, I lived with, like, 12 kids on the soccer team, basketball team, volleyball team. Like, so it's kind of it's like a melting pot in terms of, like, sports and stuff. And, like, you know, everyone was supporting each other. Like, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. And I mean, it's all about striking a balance. Like, to be honest, my freshman year, I was probably lucky we weren't playing games, because I probably came in a little too hot on that balance socially. So I kind of had to, like, figure that out. But, yeah, no, man, it was great. Like you said, Providence is a really fun city. I really like going to school in Providence. So yeah, just striking a balance, but the social scene was I really enjoyed it.
That's what's up. I mean, I went there. I've never, like, gone out in Prov or anything like that, but I actually went to, like, some like Mexican spots downtown. They have really good food in the area. So
no, it's fire, bro. Yeah, it's fire. They got a lot of, like, different types of food too. So yeah, I honestly, like, going to Prov, bro, I just thought it was gonna be like a Walmart Boston. And then after I graduated, I was like, I love Providence, man. I think it's super dope. So
I definitely got to get down there at some point, probably this summer. Mm-hmm. But back to the conversation though, bro. So obviously your senior year, Brown went on a crazy run in the Ivy League tournament. And, you know, that was, I think, the first time Brown had reached, like, the Ivy League championship in a minute, at least under Mike Martin's tenure there.
Yeah, for sure.
So just talk about what you saw from that team, what clicked for you guys, but just overall, like, the build up to that and any insight that you can give us.
Yeah, I feel like what sticks out to me from that was just, like, sometimes, like, the only way out is just, like, through, like we were, like, 2-6 in Ivy to start in the league. And, like, I don't know what our overall record was, but there were some points in the year, man, that were just, like, brutal. Like, you know, the ones, like, you get home late from a bus ride, you lost, you're leaving the locker room, it's like 1, and everyone's just kind of like, what the fuck, man? All right, my bad. I don't know if you can swear on this, but
nah, go crazy.
Okay. But yeah, like, there were so many moments like that, man. And then just, like, for me, like, I wasn't playing how I wanted to play. So like I really had to work on, like, not getting, like, my personal value and meaning from, like, my performance as a basketball player, which is something, like, you know, I struggled with a bit. And, like, that was, like, a big learning experience for me in, like, regards to that. But yeah, like, it was just, like, really just, like, sticking with it. Like, we all stuck with it, and, like, we all just, like, leaned on each other more, like, through all that stuff. Like, no one was just, like, throwing up their hands, like, screw it. Like, this isn't going how we want it to go. It was just like everyone just like every day came in, like chopped wood, carried water. And like I said, like the only way out was through. So we all just pushed through, and once it clicked, and it was a crazy experience for sure.
This is gonna be the last question before we get into a quick break, but I was just wondering if you have any, or Brown in general, if there's like a big rivalry that was in the locker room, or you personally, like when I see him, like is up, like any of those?
Like, wait, you mean in the locker room, like within the team, or like?
No, like around the Ivy.
I would, man, the whole league is so competitive. Like every Ivy League matchup is like, cause everyone knows each other so well. And like, you know, everyone's kind of like, no one's running anything different on like a year to year basis. Like, especially like I was there 3 years, like most of the same guys were hooping at the spots for all 3 years. I mean, obviously like different dudes come and go, but it's just like, a lot of it just comes down to like grit and just effort. Like, you know, like, you know what the other team is running, like you got to execute as well, but so much of it just comes down to grit and effort. So I'll just say, like, honestly, every game is such a dogfight. Like, I don't even know if I can point to like one team or one like person and be like, this is like it's honestly everybody. You just got to be on go in that league if you want to get wins. It's really
for tough. Sure. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like you or AJ was like talking about you guys play against like the URI and Prov guys sometimes and pick up runs over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
How are those like? How are those runs like? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they competitive? Are y'all talking crazy? Like, give us an insight into those.
Low key, there was never. I wish I had like a story where dudes were like talking crazy, but I really don't. Like, it was obviously like it. Like we like dudes weren't like chumming it up. It was definitely like a little bit like more of an edge to the runs, but like there was never a moment where someone like started just talking crazy to somebody. But no, like it was definitely fire doing that, because especially like going to Brian, or when Brian would come to us, like our Providence guys, it would be like, you know, it adds that little extra edge to like the runs that you're not getting just like playing with like the inner squad. So I would say that for sure. But no, I don't have like I don't got a juicy story to drop, unfortunately.
Nah, 100%. You're trying to prove like, nah, we're Brown players. Like we got the upper edge over here. But I said this was the last question. I got one more. Are you the type on the court you chirping or you just keep it calm?
Nah, yeah, I like to talk shit. I don't do it too seriously though. Like I feel like more times I'm just kidding. I feel like it also just comes from like I talk shit more when I'm in a flow state. Like I feel like since I got the Babson, I talk way more than I ever did at Brown. Just because I mean at Brown I'm standing in the corner.
Yeah,
like more like spacing the floor, like you know, like. You're not really in the role to be talking crazy to anyone, but yeah, a little more so this year, but nothing crazy disrespectful, man. I don't know. I just feel like it's fun when you add that extra layer to it, you know, like you start going back and forth with the guy, like, and then after the game, like you show love to me is never like, it's never like a super cutthroat thing, but I just think it makes the game more fun for sure.
A sign of respect in most cases, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, 100%. It's never personal. So,
I mean, we got a lot more to talk about your chapter at Babson in the future for Felix, so stay with us while we take a quick break.
All right, we're back with my boy Felix on Not Even D2 Pod. So Felix, after you graduated from Brown, I want you to walk the viewers through what your mindset was after you graduated. Do I want to keep playing college basketball? Do I want to try to go play overseas? Do I want to start looking for a job in the field that I majored in? Tell us a little bit about that, and then I got a follow-up question after that.
Yeah, bro. Like I said, and like kind of like the prior question, like I didn't feel like I did what I could have done at Brown in terms of basketball. Like I felt very unfulfilled in terms of like my basketball career. Not at, like as a result of anyone else, but just like as a result of how I played in myself and how my experience went, which obviously did a lot, like I said, to like shape me and teach me things. But I definitely like knew I wanted to do the fifth year somewhere else. I didn't really know what level. I was just like, I just want to keep playing. And in my fifth year, I just want to like max out
and hoop how I can hoop and do what I know I can do was kind of my mindset. So
I was locked in on that. Like I knew I was going to take that fifth year, the COVID year. So yeah, I was kind of always locked in on continuing to hoop in college for sure for that last year.
So then tell us a little bit about how the Babson opportunity came up. If you had any other like D3 schools reaching out to you, and ultimately, like, what were some of the reactions that you got from your friends, like just people in your circle when you committed to D3?
Yeah, I was like, I was getting recruited by like some random schools, bro. Like, not talking down on them, just like, you know, like places I never heard of type of mm-hmm. vibe. But yeah, like all three levels, like, and for me, I was like, I just want to go somewhere like I'm wanted and like somewhere where like I can just have fun playing basketball again. Not that I wasn't having fun, but just like more free, I guess. So yeah, and that's kind of how I landed on Babson. I was getting, it was a couple other D3 schools like NYU, Brandeis. So yeah, it was, those are some of like the other schools at this level. And then I got my roommate walking through, that's Alex. And then in terms of like reactions in my friend group, I feel like, you know, like people just showed love, like, you know, it just like being able to hoop in college is a blessing, bro. Like, I feel like no matter what level. So I feel like if you hoop, like, you know that. So like nobody was really like looking down or anything like that. Or like, you know, like I feel like just if you're hooping in college, like you're living the dream. Like, I feel lucky. So yeah, I feel like it was just people showing love, showing support, like go kill it, go do your thing. So.
No, I respect that. I wasn't really thinking that. I was picturing you gonna say your D1 guys is like, yo, bro, you about to move down two divisions. Like, you could hoop at D1 still, but you're right. Like, if you're playing college ball, like you did what the ultimate goal was. You got,
yeah, bro. And I just feel like, you know, like so much of basketball is just like situation and fit and stuff. And like I said, like I was looking for the best situation and fit, and like with Babson, it's been perfect. So like, I feel great about like the decision I made and the level I'm at, honestly.
No, facts. Well, I want to talk about Babson basketball because you guys are having one of the more interesting years / stories in Division III. So you guys are 9-6, 3-3 in the new MAC. Obviously, you're hurt right now, but you guys beat number 11 WPI, number 6 Wooster, number 3 Trinity, 2 UAA teams. So like being really high level competition, but your 6 losses, not that they're bad teams, but probably teams you guys expect to beat. So just talk about like this year so far, what's been going on, the ups and downs, and then what we should expect from you, the roster, the Babson program in general, like moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, like we got a new coach this year, not our head coach, but like the associate head, and he kind of has been installing a bunch of new stuff. And then like me and Alex Stoddard are the grad transfers that came in. We have like 2 or 3 freshmen that came in that play a lot. So it's honestly just like a lot of figuring stuff out at the beginning, which is why we struggled. I think we started like 3-4, and then we ripped off like those 3 or 4 wins in a row, like WPI, Case Western, Wooster, and then Trinity. And then, yeah, I don't know. Like since then, it's kind of like a rating teams thing, you know, like those big games, you get up for a big game and like everyone's, you know, everyone's firing, everyone's playing at their best. And then not in a disrespectful way, but then like you play Trinity and then you go to the next game and whoever you're playing, and you can kind of rate a team and not bring that same intensity. So we haven't done a good job of like maintaining our intensity and respecting our opponent every game, I would say, is like the main reason for that. It's funny you say interesting, because I feel like our like resume looks crazy, but just like I think we just gotta get better at just our effort level being consistent and just respecting our opponent every game. Keeping the same intensity, same energy.
I mean, it definitely makes sense though. I mean, like you said, no disrespect to any other teams, but we're all human at the end of the day. We know like if you're getting prepared for a top 5 team in the country, like you're way more excited, anxious to go against them than if you're mm-hmm. playing like the last ranked team in your conference. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like have that same energy for it.
Yeah.
Or the human mind.
Yeah, and I know like our goal is to win a national championship. Like my goal like coming in was to like win a national championship, get at-large bid. And obviously the way stuff is shaken out, at-large bid, you know, probably isn't possible, but you know, the national championship, that's still very possible. And even though I'm injured, like I'll be back hopefully for new MAC stuff, for new MAC playoffs. And yeah, I mean, that's still the main goal. I still got like the utmost belief we can do it. It's just a matter of, like I said, keeping our effort consistent. And I feel like from there, like we got the pieces in town, everything else can take care of itself for sure. So,
yeah, I mean, I was going to say like, you guys have gotten the big game, so it shows that you guys can like win those type of environments, you know what I mean? And also, like, I know, like, you said you have a new coach. Is it Coach Flannery? Is a new, like, associate
head? Coach Flannery, yeah.
All right, so, like, you guys have him. But in years past, like, bro, Babson and, like, the new MAC tournament, like, just shows up, bro. Like, something just clicks. Like, last year with, with Steph Baxter, like, he went off. And also, you guys got Amato. And then the year before, they beat WPI, who was, like, I'm pretty sure number one in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like you guys can still get it done. You guys got the experience no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. It's just one of those, like, you know, going into the season, I was like, let's get this at-large bid. Like, now, like you said, we just got to do it the harder way. And, you know, it's not the way we drew it up or the way necessarily we wanted to do it. But, you know, it's the path that was laid out for us. So now it's just, you know, up to us to go get it, honestly.
How was that? Can you give us some insight into the, like, Trinity versus Babson game? Because, bro, I seen the clips and the game looked packed. Like, you guys had, like...
Yeah, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of Trinity people there, honestly. I feel like it was, like, half and half.
Well, I mean, you guys... And there's a lot of high-level players on both teams. So just talk about that environment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would just say, like, I feel like that game stands out in terms of just being, like, the most, like, tough and physical game of the year. Yeah, nah, like, the environment was fire. It's always just, you know, it's always fun to play in front of people. So, like, a little more energy in the gym, puts a little pep in your step, stuff like that. But, yeah, man, that game was a dogfight. Like, double OT, like, I don't know if I ever have dug that deep. Like, I think I played, like, 48 minutes, bro. Like, at the end of the second overtime, I was like, man, I've never had to dig that deep in a basketball game, bro. Second overtime, I felt like I was, like, dreaming. I was so tired. But, you know, won the game, thank goodness. But yeah, no, that was definitely like one of the crazier basketball games I've played in.
Nah, overtime is strictly about grit. Like, X's and O's go away. It's usually just like pick and rolls and see who can hoop better. But it's like you said, like, you just got to dig deep and make a few extra plays to get those wins. 100%. But I want to, like, this next question, no bias, like, when, no offense, you're talking to two Division III players. The podcast is kind of built upon, like, Division III basketball, but I want to hear your opinion surrounding Division III, because you're from Division I school, and not, like, you had a good career at Brown, but now you're at Babson, and your production has completely skyrocketed. I mean, you're averaging close to 20 points, 18.8 points per game, shooting 46% from the field. So I just want to hear your honest opinion about Division III hoops.
No, yeah, I mean, like I said, like, I mean, like, the level's different, I feel like, in terms of maybe physicality, athleticism, and just, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like those are, like, the two main things. Maybe, like, speed of the game a little bit, but, I mean, like, I would just say, like, don't get it twisted. Like, it's still college basketball. Like, nothing, like, I would never say it, like, anything is easy or it. I would just say it's different. It's so different from, part of that has to do with my role changing. You know, like, being in a different role, having the ball in my hands more, like, being more of a creator. But yeah, it's just different, man. I would honestly just say it's different in those two ways. And then just in terms of how my role changed, I feel like, but I also feel like D3 Hoops is super pure, man. Like, D3 Hoops, like, it's a lot of dudes who just, like, love the game of basketball and are out there competing because, like, they love basketball. Like, all politics are removed, you know, because, like, it's not like anyone's touching an NIL bag down here or any of that kind of stuff. None of that stuff's bad, like, but just – I just feel like D3 is, like, a very pure version of the game. So I've really appreciated that and just, like, love coming into practice every day and love coming into practice with a bunch of dudes who, like, love hooping. And then going out and competing against dudes who are going to, like, compete their ass off and love hooping too. So, yeah, I mean, that's like, I don't know if I really answered that question well, but.
Dude, you gave a great answer, bro. I love that answer, dog. For real.
It's kind of crazy because you haven't even finished your first year playing at the level and you're already saying, like, what most people say about Division III that have lived it and follow it. Like, it's just pure basketball. And like you said, like, a lot of your production has increased just because you started the episode saying, like, opportunity, fit, all that stuff, and now you're getting the opportunity. Your ball's in your hands a lot, and now you're killing. But to change topics a little bit, I saw on your IG just scrolling a little bit that you – I don't know if it was once, but you were working out with Duncan Robinson. You guys both work out with Mitch. So I just want a little insight behind those workouts. If in those pictures you guys were playing ones, and if you could like give a story or two about what that was like for you.
Yeah, I would just say like, it's just always like a dope opportunity, honestly. It sounds cheesy, but like, you know, like I feel like I love to compete, and like I feel like I bring like my best stuff out like when I'm like, you know, playing the best. So just like to have an opportunity to like be in the gym with dudes like that, like Joey Baker, Jordan Miner, like all those kind of dudes who are pros right now, George's Niang, like it's just like a super dope experience, and it just makes you go harder, and like, you know, like you're just learning a ton by like, even if I'm just going through a whole workout and I'm guarding him for 50 minutes, like, you know, I'm learning so much, like I'm competing, all that stuff. Like, it's really just a treat. I feel like, you know, like those are the ones, like you're in the moment and like, you know, like you're talking a little shit, whatever. It just, you know, you feel like you're just two dudes in the gym, like hooping. Like, I'm not even like, yo, like this is an NBA player. You're just in there hooping. And then after it's like, yo, like that's super dope. I got to do that with, you know, a man who does that like for his job, you know, like that's like, he's like at the top of the top of the 0.01% or whatever. So it's honestly just an honor, bro. I feel super blessed. I had the opportunity to like work out with like some of those like caliber guys, and there's way more than whoever I just named, but yeah, bro, like just super dope opportunity every time whenever I can get in the gym and do that.
Bro, that's a fact. You just explained it perfectly, bro. Cause like Mitch creates kind of environment where I feel like, you know what I mean? Like he invites like the talking crap, you know what I mean? Like going back and forth. Cause like Mitch is gonna chirp you too. Like, why are you playing defense? He's like, bro, get a stop. Like, what are you doing? Like, cause you gotta close out a little bit harder. You know what I mean? And then with Duncan, like he gonna talk the whole time, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, Duncan will definitely talk a little shit. George's too. So like, I don't know. It just like I said, like I like that kind of stuff. Like it just makes everything great. And then like you're already like competing at such a high level because like of who those guys are, that it's just like, yeah, bro, it's super dope opportunity. Like I feel super lucky to like have got those experiences in. And shout out Mitch for like making that possible for me, honestly, because those aren't dudes I'd be getting in the gym with otherwise.
No, we're not. Mitch definitely building something up there in New Hampshire. Already built a great.
Yeah,
that he has, but
yeah, man, give it a couple more years, 5-10 years. He's gonna be one of the, like, I feel like one of like the biggest faces in basketball training in the world, honestly. Like I really believe that. So his network is already crazy. What he's doing is already crazy. So
100%, dude. And I wanted to circle back a little bit just because like I kind of want to talk about like opportunity. And we used to do this when the pod first started. We always used to like talk about like giving advice and stuff like that. And you have dropped a lot of like, you know, gems in the episode, but just like you talk about like, you know, your first couple of years at Brown, you weren't playing that much. You know what I mean? Now you're at Babson. And when you committed to Babson, I don't know if I either told you this or I was telling other people this. I was like, yo, bro, he's going to kill shit at Babson, bro. Cause now he's going to get the ball in his hands. And I was already seeing what he was doing in workouts. You know what I mean? Like shooting one legged threes and shit like that. Mad disrespectful, but nah, but now you're at Babson and you're killing, bro. I know you're hurt, but you're going to be back soon. So just give one last piece of advice before we wrap it up. You know what I'm saying? Talking about opportunity and staying ready and just keeping a good mindset too.
Yeah, bro. My thing, I just feel like when you get to where you want to be and like you look back at how you got there, like you just want to like be able to say, like, I feel like my thing is like, I just always want to be able to say I did shit the right way. Like in my undergrad, like, there were so many times I feel like I'm Brown, like I got benched, I whatever, was frustrated. Like I could have just like gone inward and like went into my shell. And I just feel like when shit gets hard, like going outward, like continuing to pour yourself into whatever you're doing, like staying solid. Like, so when you do get there, like, and I'm not there yet. Like I've been playing well this year, but like I said, like my goal is to win a national championship. So like when I do that in March, I want to be able to look back at like my 5 years of playing hoops and like to my practicing in COVID with no games to playing at Babson and March Madness. Like I want to look and be like, I didn't cheat any steps. Like I was taking care of business when stuff wasn't going my way. I was taking care of business when stuff was going my way. Like I would just say, like, when you're not where you want to be, still do the stuff you would be doing if you were where you want to be. So when you get there, you can look back and be proud of how you did it. And like, that's the stuff that's going to help you get there anyway. So if you're doing it, you're already working. Like, there's just no skipping steps. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that would just be like, something I think about a lot and like something I've referenced before. I just feel like during my college basketball journey, just because I feel like it's been a roller coaster, and you know, it's not like how I would have drawn it up if I was coming out of high school, like this is how I want it to go, but I'm glad that this is the way it went. And like, I honestly wouldn't trade it for anything. So.
Yo, bro, that might have been the best answer we've got on the pod. I ain't gonna lie.
I appreciate that.
No, Rudy gonna snap on a reel with that one. We gotta end this episode with a rapid fire and start a 5 edition. So let us know when you're ready for a rapid fire.
Yeah, hit me.
All right, first rapid fire question. I know you said your like music tastes kind of fluid and you have kind of like phases, as you said. So give the audience an insight of your top three. Just artists, bro, that you've always been consistent with, I'd say.
Number one, automatic, gotta go with my man, Drizzy, for sure. Whatever you want to say, I don't care. I love Drake, bro.
Nah. Drake.
Drop, bro. We got to drop the top 10 because you was put on your Instagram last year, like, polls of, like, who had the best Drake top 10.
I got mine in my notes. I can text it over to y'all.
Yeah, we'll put it on the image and have the audience.
Yeah, for sure. But Drake, you know, all the Kendrick shit is corny to me, man. Like, don't play not like us around me.
I ain't gonna lie, Drake a fan, bro. Drake a fan.
don't play not like us around me. Do not play that midget around me, bro. Drake is my guy, bro. I will ride out for that guy. I don't care if you say I'm, you know, glazing, whatever it is. Drake's my guy. Drake, Sade, and then three, Frank Ocean. That's probably my top three.
That's tough.
I feel like those cover all bases. I mean, Drake himself cover all bases. That's why he's the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really could have just put Drake, and Drake. My Mount Rushmore is four different expressions.
Now you're going crazy.
All right, yeah. I like the answer originally, bro. Sade, Drake, and Frank Ocean. I'm taking that.
Yeah. Yeah, but once you get me rolling on my Drake propaganda, I'm not going to stop, so.
We might have to do another episode for that, Felix.
Yeah. I can go another 60 minutes, bro.
next rapid fire question I got for you. I need you to include some of the funniest teammates you had. So let's do three, one from Pingree, one from Brown, and one from Babson right now.
From Babson?
If you can't think of one from Babson, then you could do two for Brown.
No, I got you. From Babson, shout out JJ. JJ on my team, Jeremiah Paul. I'll drop his government on here. That dude's hilarious. On Brown, I had a teammate, Dan Friday. Shout out Dan Friday from Detroit. He might be like the funniest teammate I've ever had, ever. And then at Pingree, it's crazy how long this was ago, man. I'm too old. Harrison Latimer, good dude. A lot of laughs on the bus with Harrison Latimer, man. For sure.
Shout out Harrison.
Fast. Nah,
great dude. And then last like rapid fire question. I guess not a rapid fire question, but like obviously you go to Las Olas all the time in Exeter. You know, not all the time, I'd say, but like you go to Las Olas frequently after some of the like Mitch workouts and stuff like that. How does Las Olas compare to any like the Mexican food down in Providence? Because they do have some good food down there.
I would say it doesn't compare. I remember there's this one authentic spot. I forget the name, damn, but my teammate put me on. It was in like, I don't know if it was like North Providence, but that might have been like the most fire Mexican I've ever had, bro. It was like in a convenience store almost, damn near. And the setup looked crazy, but the food was
nah, that's how it goes. That's
yeah,
how it goes.
No, every time the setup looks suspect, that's when you know the food's gonna be hidden for sure.
what are you rating Providence as a whole for like for food and stuff like that?
For eats, I would say like, you know, I'm not like the biggest foodie, so like maybe don't take my word for it, but like I was like an 8 or 9, like because they honestly have a little bit of everything. There's so many options, bro. So for sure. Eight or a nine is my final
that's score. That's definitely calm. But we're going to move to the starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best players that you've played with. And give me positions too. You can include yourself.
Am I putting myself in it?
Yeah, you can.
Say, all right, I'd start myself with the two. I'd put Nana Owusu-Anane at the five. from Brown, I put, damn, I feel like, hopefully not too many people watch this. I feel like I'm going to hurt someone's feelings. I put Nana Wusunani at the five. I put me at the two. Let's go Keno Lilly as the point guard. And then throw my guy Paxton Wozick at the three. And then at the four, I'll go my man Stoddard or Big Motto, Nate Amato. I'll go with those five.
Heard you. That's a tough lineup, bro. Some dogs you played with for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy because you guys sent me that one and I was thinking about it and I still couldn't even like come up with all five until now. So yeah, but yeah,
right. Nah, I did give you a tough one, but that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Definitely appreciate you getting on short notice and definitely going to be following you the rest of the year. Hopefully injury goes smooth and we'll see you back on the court soon.
Yeah, appreciate y'all, man. Thank you, boys.
All right, we're going to end this episode with our segment of Only in D3, where we talk about what it's like to be a Division III student athlete, particularly a funny story, but this one, I don't think it's funny, but I'm going to just talk about, like, this past weekend. So, I'm going to just center around the Poly game. So, we get to Poly, the girls are playing, and when I walk in, I was like, I didn't say this out loud, but I was like, this is not the gym we're playing in, bro. And how it's set up, it's for real, like, let me put a caveat. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody or the athletic administration at Poly, but there's three gyms set up and you're only playing in like the left side of the last court. So it's set up like an AAU gym. So I'm like, whatever. But when I get closer to the court, there's not like actual bleachers that like come out. It's like the bleachers that you kind of like pick up and then there's chairs scattered around that people are sitting in. So I'm like, bro, this is for real, like some Only in D3 stuff, but it gets worse. So coach, like right before we get out to the gym, he's like, oh yeah, the locker room isn't going to be locked. So you guys got to bring your stuff out to the gym. I'm like, so bro, like we're getting ready to go out to warmups, but we have to have, like, I'm carrying my shoes, my book bag on my back and the basketball. Cause I usually come out with, like, I lead the team out. Bro, so we got to put our stuff behind the bench. It's Matt. I don't know if it's ghetto or it's just an AU setup. So then this is the last part. But, like, we're doing layups and one of our bigs, like, lost the ball. And I was like, yo, he's whack for that. But he was like, yo, there's a dead spot. And I was like, bro, you just don't got no dribble. Like, it's not a dead spot. But then I start doing dribble drills, like, with TC. And we both lose it. And, like, yo, there's, a like, dead spots all over the court. It's not just, like, one spot. So I'm like, bro, it's not an excuse neither because both teams were playing on it. It was a really good game, but that's my Only in D3 segment, just the Poly gym. And like I said, no disrespect, but it was just a funny moment playing on that court.
Yeah, that definitely is crazy. I can't lie. I haven't been to their new gym, so we're going to play them soon.
Nah, you got to let me know what you think.
I got you. I don't know if I'm going to say it on air, though, but yeah, I got you, though. but yeah, so my Only in D3 story, it's kind of a moment, but so our freshman year was Big Cozy's freshman year. That's when like he went viral for, you know, the game against U Buffalo where he tripped and then threw the dime pass to Cook. Shout out Dan Cook for and you know he punched it and then he went viral and the sweaters and all that. We had on our team this guy named Comedric Murphy. But I call him and everyone around Utica calls him Hammer. We all call him Hammer. Outside the team, you know him as Comedric, but that's my boy Hammer. So Hammer is this 6'7". He's like, I don't want to say how much he weighs, but he's pretty big. You know what I mean? We'll put a picture of him so the audience can kind of get a visual, but he's a really big dude. Like he looks like, you know, he could probably play offensive line. You know what I mean? But he was really good, bro. He was really good player. I mean, you know, drop dimes, could lay you, you know what I mean? Get, you know, sending everything back at the rim, rebounding. Like, he was just like a he was really good, bro. No lies.
Like it was tough scouting for him. I'm not gonna lie.
He was even better, dude, bro. Like really took me under his wing. His freshman year, my freshman year, when he was a fifth year. You know what I mean? Always, you know, bringing me to lift or whatever. Like, you know, we would be talking while I'm getting shots up or whatever. But this moment that I wanted to bring up, hopefully I could try to find the clip somewhere. If not, it's all good. But we played Fisher on our senior night. And Connor Williams is a freshman and Kamedric is starting. So we come out, we start the game, right? We start the game hot. Like, you know what I mean? We ended up smoking them. Kobe Lufkin had like 7 threes. We killed them. But early in the game, like Hammer would only play like for 5 minutes really. And then Avery Carson would come in and sub him out. And then they would rotate kind of throughout the rest of the first half. And then if it's a close game in the second, then Hammer would play more. But that's kind of how the rotations would go, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So early on in the first, I don't know what time stamp, but we see Connor Williams check in. He's checking into the game, and Hammer is still in the game. The herd, which is Utica's like fan base here, starts going crazy. And it's senior night too, so they're already lit. So they start screaming. They're like, oh, it's Cozy, it's Cozy. Right? So then Cozy gets on the floor, bro. Cozy is the only dude to ever make Hammer like look small. Like, but, and Hammer's a big dude, bro. That's a crazy matchup. That's what I'm saying. So they come on the floor. I think they only play for like really 2 minutes, but it's literally the, I'm literally like, I remember, I still remember it. Like Hammer tried to like do like a spin hook on Cozy, and it wasn't even close to going in. Cozy tried to back down Hammer, and Hammer's like not moving. And the one memory that I have from that game is that Hammer caught it. He was so tired, bro. It was like 12 minutes left in the first half. He caught it at like the little top of the key, took a jab step, shot it. I'd never seen him shoot a jump shot. He shot it. He missed it bad, but he still shot it. And like everyone was like going crazy. And that was one of the craziest like D3 matchups I've ever seen.
Yo,
Cozy versus Kamedric Hammer Murphy.
Nah, I didn't even know that they was on the court together at one point. I'm surprised, bro. No cameras or nothing like posted that. They could have got clout off that.
There's definitely some photos. Like I know for a fact there's a photo of Hammer, you know, fucking shooting when Cozy just like not even closing out. So there's definitely some cameras. I don't know about vids though, but definitely a funny moment that I'll never forget in D3 for sure.
Nah, that's tough. But, yo, like, people make jokes, not so much about Hammer, but people make jokes about Connor Williams. But, yo, he's actually, like,
he's mad, a buck, bro.
He's mad tough.
Yeah. I like his game.
Nah, great stories on the Only in D3 segment. And that's going to do it. We'll see you next week. And go subscribe. Leave a follow. Go follow us on social. Not Even D2. And
thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.